Rabbi, so let's begin. Today I want to continue our series on tefillah. Today I want to discuss with you the section of Pesukei Dezimra called Yehi Chavod. Yehi Chavod.
The tefillah of great sanctity, because I should
say that.
Like
to
Kavana. You have to have great kavana when you recite the Yichavot.
Okay. Okay, Yehi Chavod is a very important part of Pesukei Dezimra. Where does it come from? Why do we say it? There are more questions than there are answers. Now, one idea I came across, which is probably the best thing I'm going to tell you from the things that I saw, is Yehi Chavod. We call the Pesukei Dezimra Pesukei Dezimra. Why do we call it Pesukei Dezimra? According to the Gemara, it's really the ikar part of Pesukei Dezimra is Ashrei and are the Mizmor, the Hallelukas. So it would seemingly be more correct to call it Shirei Zimra or Mizmoirei Zimra. Why do we call it Pesukei Dezimra? We say pretty much full Mizmoirim. Each chapter in Tehillim is called a Mizmor or Zemer. So why are we calling it Pesukim? So some want to say because Pesukei Dezimra is referring specifically to Yehi Chavod. What is Yehi Chavod? It is a collection of 18 psukim. You see, Yehi Chavod is not one complete mizmor. Yehi Chavod is nothing more than 8 psukim collected from all over Tehillim and from Divrei Hayamim and Pasuk and Mishlei. They're small psukim which at some point in time someone came along and glued these psukim together into one paragraph. And because we have this part of our nusach, it would not be correct to call the entire section Mizmoirei Zimra, because of this Mizmor, we have a significant part of the section which is Psukim, and that's why we call it Pesukei Dezimra, because of this section called Yehi Chavod. Now, why are there 18 Psukim? So many want to say the reason why there are 18 Psukim, because it corresponds, it was written as a Hakdama to the Shmona Esrei. There are 18 Brachos in the Shmona Esrei. Now, you'll ask me, but we know there are really 19 Brachos. Okay, that was an addition. That was something that was added later on. Now, Derech Agav, I just want to just to point out that there's a machlek between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, how many were the original number of Brachos in the Shmona Esrei. In the Bavli, it's clear there were originally 18 Brachos, and at a later point in time, they added the Bracha of Olam Al Shinim, because of the Minim. According to the Yerushalmi, that's not the way it was. It was originally 17. They added 18 to make V'lam Al Shinim, and then they broke up the Bracha as Tzemach David and Yerushalayim into two separate Brachas. It used to be as Tzemach David Yerushalayim, David Avdecha, used to be one Bracha, and it was broken up into two. So there's a difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What was the Iker Psuke, the Iker Shmon Esrei? Was it 17, which turned into 18 and then into 19, or did it start out originally as 18 and then one more was added, V'lam Al Shinim, to make it into 19? But in any event, we have here in this section 18 psukim, which correspond to the 18 brachos of the Shmon Esrei, at least of the 18.
The Yerushalmi might be more right, because the V'lam Al Shinim started in Eretz Yisrael, it didn't start in Bavli.
V'lam Al Shinim started in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, okay, that's machloek. It's Bavli and Yerushalmi. Was it originally 18 or was it originally 17? The two additions would be V'lam Al Shinim and breaking up as Semach David and Yerushalayim. Okay, now there is one. All the psukim in Yehi Chavod are psukim from Tehillim, with the exception of two. One pasuk comes from Divrei Hayamim. That's the pasuk. Yismuchu Hashemayim v'sagel ha'aretz v'yom v'goyim Hashem melech Hashem melech Hashem yimloch li'olam. But that's not a real pasuk. That we're going to come to in a few moments. Okay, but there's one pasuk that's very, very peculiar, and that is the pasuk of Rabos machashavos belevish v'atzas Hashem hi sokum. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. All of the psukim and psukim b'zimra come from Tehillim, or come from, let's say, the Shira, Oz Yashir Moshe, which is also an extension, I mean, it's part of Chamishachim Shetara Tehillim, or come from Divrei Hayamim, when we make mention of David.
sukkim in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, which build into the Shira of David. This pasuk from Mishlei seems to be totally out from left field. And it's a very big question, why did the people who put together this the Nusach HaTfilah did include a pasuk from Mishlei, which seemingly is not part of the pattern, the style, the template of the Psuki de Zimra. What? It's Ksuvim. So some want to suggest that the pasuk of Rabois Machashavois Belevish Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokum really is... Can you close the door behind you? The pasuk Rabos Machashavos Belevish Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokum comes from... Thank you very much, the realist. Corresponds to Vilam Al Shinim. That was not originally part of the Nus. Let's say we go with the Yerushalmi. According to the Yerushalmi, originally there were only 17 brachos in the Shemona Esrei. And there were 17 psukim in the Yichavot. And then at a later point in time, before they broke up the bracha of the Yerushalayim and the Semach David, they added only Vilam Al Shinim. They added the bracha for the Min of the Apikarsim. And to correspond to the addition of Olam Al Shinim, they added one more pasuk in Yehi Chavot to correspond, and the thing which would perfectly fit that theme would be Rabois Machashavos Belevish Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokum. Just like the Apikorsim, they have all different ideas and corrupt understanding of the Torah, and they try to cause harm to Klal Yisrael. It's true. Rabos Machashavos Belevish Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokum. So just like it was a later edition of Olam Al Shinim, to indicate we also take a pasuk that's also the later edition, which is different from the other psukim in Yehi Chavot, to show that it was not part of the original Yehi Chavot. Let's say one more time. We have just the Rashi Prakim. We have 18 psukim. These 18 psukim, in some shape and form, correspond to the Shemona Esrei. Our Shemona Esrei today has 19. According to the Yerushalmi, the original Shemona Esrei had 17 brachos. And the 17 brachos did not include Vilam Al Shinim, and the bracha of Esemach David and Yerushalayim was originally a single bracha. Then at a later point in time, they added the bracha of Vilam Al Shinim to be an antidote against the Apikorsim who were causing great harm to Klal Yisrael. So the Shemona Esrei was made from 17 to 18. At that point in time, Yehi Chavod was... We added to Yichavot a pasuk from Mishlei, which captures the theme of the additional bracha of Olam Al Shinim. Rabos Machashavos Belevish Vatsas Hashem Hi Sokum. Okay, that's one idea. Now, when exactly do we say Yichavot? So interesting, we say Yichavot every single day, the whole week. And that appears to have always been the minig. The question is, do you stand for Yichavot or do you sit? The minig olam is manazeh is always to sit. We always say whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Yom. However, it's brought down in some of the earliest form that it used to be the custom that on Shabbos you would stand. And then it's brought down another custom on Shabbos you would sit, but on Pesach, which the special time of Haidah, then the custom was to stand. So different customs exactly went to standing, and our custom is manazeh. Mizmos is a different topic. That's not for today. Mizmos soda is avoda, is a carbon toda. So you might as well remain standing for Yichavod. So stand the whole, so hold on. There's something to sitting and standing. Okay, that's a separate issue, but there are different opinions as to standing and sitting. It is generally accepted that you sit for Yichavod. It appears in the older Sfarim that there was such a custom that on Shabbos on Yom Tov, you were to stand specifically on Pesach. Now we have here this pasuk in the middle of Yichavot. Why? Because special is man of Haidah. Pesach is a special time to give Haidah for Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Yichavot is an extra dosage of giving Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the great things that he's done by selecting. Many of the pesukim in Yichavot focus on that we have been selected from all the nations. That we are. Ki vachar Hashem b'tzion iva l'moshe lo ki ya'akoy bachar lo ka yisro l'skuloso ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. The theme of Yehi Chavod fits more with Pesach than the other Moadim.
I would pick Rosh Hashanah.
Why?
Hashem Melech,
Kabbalah is a Malchus Shemayim.
You say that because...
You said the Nusach Sfar. That's only Nusach Sfar. We discussed right. That. Yeah, every section requires all Kabbalah is a Malchus Shemayim. Okay, let's discuss this.
Let me go back to this for a second.
Yeah.
Pesach, you don't say Mizmor L'Soida because of...
Carbon Toida.
So,
You don't stand. Ah, so you're saying there you're not going to stand. Ooh, so you want to say that sense of that you're not going to be standing for Mizmor Seida. So now you have to be reminded to stand for Yehichva. But it's not normally would anybody be standing? Okay, it's a very big chiddush what you're saying. It's an interesting idea. It's definitely an interesting idea. Okay, let's go to another idea we have here. This pasuk Hashem Melech Hashem Melech Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. There is no such pasuk. Right. Nowhere in Tanakh does it say Hashem Melech Hashem Melech Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. This is something which has been compiled. The earliest source for this nusach, the combination, it comes from three pasukim in Tehillim. Two pasukim in Tehillim, and one pasuk in the Torah. Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed is an Oz Yashir in Parshas Peshalach. So we combine three different pasukim to make this one expression: Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. The earliest source for this combination is from Masechta Soifrim. In back one, Masechta Avodah Zarah, the end of Masechta Seder Nezakin, the Vilna Shas, there are a collection of small Masechtas, and one of the small Masechtas is called Masechta Soifrim. And there, in that Masechta, it is presented this concept, this pasuk, where we this composite of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. Present, past, and future. Now, the most common question concerning this expression is why is it in this order? In Adon Olam, what is the order? Hu Haya v'hu Hove v'hu Yiyah. When you want to focus on the concept of time, we focus on past, present, future. We go in chronological order. Past, present, future. So why then in Yichvo do we first focus on the present, then do we go to the past, and then do we go to the future? So it's a very good question. It's not easy to find an answer. One answer given by Rav David Cohn is when we say Hashem Melech, we are not saying it is reference to the present. Hashem Melech is a title. Hashem is the king. We don't mean to say Hashem Melech in contrast to past and future. We mean to say Hashem is the Melech.
It's not a verb.
It's not a verb. Exactly. It's a noun. It's an adjective. Hashem is the Melech, the king. Then we say he was a king in the past and will be a king in the future. Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. That explains why, otherwise, if it was a verb, it would have been past, present, future, just like in the prayer of Adon Olam. That totally gives it a whole new interpretation. When you read the pasuk, Hashem Elach, this is my God. Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, he was the God in the past and in the future. Moloch is past. Moloch is past. Melech. Moloch is past. Moloch. Moloch. Two double kamots. A double kamots is Moloch is the past. Hashem Moloch. Hashem was king in the past.
So you're saying Moloch and Moloch is the same?
There is no such thing as Moloch. Moloch. There's only Moloch.
Doesn't come as Moloch?
No, not that I'm aware of. Moloch. Hashem Moloch. A double kamatz.
It has reigned.
Hashem in the past. When we say Hashem Melech, it means Hashem is king, is a term. Hashem is the Melech. And then we elaborate, Hashem was king in the past, Hashem is king in the future. Melech. The present is Melech.
No,
Melech.
Not according to Rav.
No, Adon Olam Hashem Moloch.
Adon Olam Hashem Moloch.
He has a question.
Hashem Moloch. Hashem Moloch. Adon Olam Hashem. Oh, that's also the past tense.
Yes, yes.
That's also the past tense. Okay, so then the Lechari say, Moloch and Moloch both mean the past. Both mean the past. But when we say, the present would be Melech. What?
When you say Adon
Olam,
it's a verb.
Where?
It's not a noun.
Where?
When you say Adon Olam, Asher Moloch,
who has ruled,
has to be a verb there.
So there, but that's not in contrast with.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. There, it's going to be, but no. Here, it's not three nouns; it's one noun. Wow. Hashem Melech. Hashem is the king.
That's his title.
Is the king?
No, that's
adverb,
his title.
Adjective. Hashem Melech.
That's his title.
Hashem is the king. And then what?
It's understood. Is. There's no verb in the sense.
It's understood, self-understood.
It's a statement.
It's a statement. Hashem is the king. It's a declaration, Hashem. And then we elaborate. Hashem, verbs. Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. If we were presenting three verbs, it would have to be in chronological order. It would have to be past, present, future. The fact that we begin with what appears to be a verb in the present tense, Hashem is Melech now, Hashem is Melech in the past, Hashem Yimloch in the future, then we have a difficulty. Why is this out of order? So you can say, so it's out of order. You want to focus on what's current. Some indeed say this. Some want to learn Hashem Melech is a verb. I see. I think of Chaim Kanevsky says this. Hashem Melech is a verb. Hashem now is the king right now. That is what's most important. That is the most important thing to be aware of. And also, Hashem was king in the past, Hashem is king in the future. That's one approach. But another approach is, no, we're not describing Hashem Melech as an adverb. We're describing it as a statement. It is an adjective. Hashem is the king.
Yeah.
It's a declaration. You are the king. I'm not focusing on past, present. You're the king means everything. And then we just elaborate Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. It's so self-understood that Hashem is the king now, it need not be said. It's a whole different translation how you translate the words Hashem Melech. Okay, that's one important thing to keep in mind. Another idea. We have this concept called Mantzipach. Mantzipach are the end letters of the Aleph Beis. There are 22 letters in the Aleph Beis, and then there are an additional 5 end letters, like the end Chof. Then the end Sofis, the end Mem, the end Nun, the end Tzadi, the end, what did I leave out? The end Pei. So these letters spell out, not in order, the acronym Mantzipach, Tzoyfim Amorum. Man Sepach Mem Nun Tzadi. No, the chof is at the end for whatever reason. Maybe in order to make it into a word that's easy to pronounce. These end letters Tzofim Amarum. Gumar tells us that the prophets are the one who invented these letters. Now it does not mean they invented the letters. It means they are the ones who taught us that we should only use these letters at the end. These letters are to be used at the end of a word. Now this idea of Man Sepach is, I'm just presenting something which I don't have any explanation, but these letters are very holy letters. End letters represent the coming of Mashiach. For example, Pakod, all of the words, the expressions in the Torah which reveal revelation, Geula, redemption, are doubled. The first example of doubling was the classic term, Pakod Pokadati. The Jewish people in the Mitzrayim had a code. They knew that if a leader would come and would tell them, I am the Mashiach, he would have to provide the code. And the code is Pakod Pokadati. And indeed, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael, he said to them, Pakod Pokadati, Hashem has remembered you. Pakod means to remember. It's similar to the word Zohar, Zechira. Hashem remembers you, Hashem sees your suffering, and Hashem will redeem you. All of the different expressions in Tanakh which discuss redemption have a doubling of a syllable. For the first one was Pekida, Pokod, Pokadati. Okay, what's another example? Let's say Nun. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha. Lech lecha, I want you to travel el artzecha, umimolatecha, umibesavicha, el haoretz, asher areka. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to travel, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, I want you there to be geula. So what's the doubling of the syllable in that expression of redemption for Avraham, which is of course the forefather of Klal Yisrael? It's lech lecha, cha, cha. The cha is repeated. So it's a double expression, it's a reference to a geula redemption. There are other examples. Or any letter with these end letters, the code for the gula are these end letters, Mem, the Mantzipach letters. Now, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Liolam Vued, is always associated with Mantzipach. Now, why do I say that? Why do we say that? Let's take the first two of the Mantzipach. Man, Mem Nun. What's Mem Nun? What is the gematria of Mem Nun?
90.
Mem Nun, Mem is 40, Nun is 50, 40 plus 50 is 90. What is the gematria of Melech? Mem, Lamed, Chaf, Mem is 40, Lamed is 30, Chaf is 20, 90. So Melech, let's say in the present tense is Mem Nun. Next, Man Tzip, the 5 letters. First is Mem Nun. The middle letter is Tzadi. What's Tzadi? 90. What is Moloch in the past tense? also 90. And what's the last two letters? Poch. Pei Chaf. Pei is 80. Chaf is 20, is 100. What is the gematria of Yimloch? What's Yimloch? Yimloch is 100. So this idea of Manitzipach Tsoifim Amorum, the letters Man Tzipach were revealed to us by the Tzofim, the seers, the prophets. One of the main messages that the prophets have given us, that there's going to be an ultimate Geula, the Mashiach will come. Mashiach will come. Mashiach is hidden too in the concept of the end letters of the Aleph Beis. And the end letters of the Aleph Beis are also captured in the theme of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Moed, the ultimate recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King. In Shemaim, in Olam Haba, there is no difference between past, present, and future. Past, present, and future are something which is a creation of Olam Hazeh. Man Tzipach, Memnun is 90, Tzadi is 90, Pach is 100, corresponds to Melech, Moloch, Yimloch, corresponds to the end letters of the Aleph Beis, which capture within it a concept of the end. The end means the end of days when Mashiach will come, which was predicted by the Tzofim, by the prophets. Prophets see will come at the end of time, and all of that will only be fulfilled when Klal Yisrael reach the Madrega where they can fully accept upon themselves the recognition that Hashem is the true King. He was the King in the past, King in the future, and is King in the present as well.
I'm not sure if somewhere, this may be a Gemara that in the Luchas,
yeah,
the Mem was a...
And the Mem.
And the Mem, even in the middle. They used the end of Mem in the middle.
So the Gemara in Megillah asked that question. The Gemara says it can't be. The Gemara says that it can't be because the Gemara in Megillah talks about it. I think the Gemara says that there was the way it was.
How could you say there was...
Mem b'sanach shebeluchas b'neis hayu oimdim.
Right.
Was a miracle. But that means the end Mem. It doesn't mean the middle. It doesn't mean the Mem in the middle.
He didn't use the concept of using a separate two Mems.
Right.
Was not that.
There was an invention of the Tzofim. The Gemara it says that in the Haramina. The Tzofim decided that we should use the end Mem, the Mem at the end, and the other Mem. The Gemara says it can't be. The Gemara is Akash, Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Tavar. A Navi is not allowed to be M'Chadesh Tavar. The Navi can't do that. Navi is not allowed to go tell you to do something new, novel, which until this point in time was not done. So the Gemara says, you're right. They always knew exactly how to use the Mem, but it was forgotten. And they were the ones who revealed, who reminded us what we once upon a time knew and we forgot.
I'm sure that if the Mem and Mem Sofis were interchangeable.
The Gemara makes that suggestion, but if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara rejects that. That was a Hav Amin of the Gemara. The Gemara ultimately rejects that idea. The Gemara says, Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Tavar. They have no right to make a new innovation, that this is how it should be. The end goes at the end, and the other letters go in the beginning. And the Gemara concludes, it was always done the right way. We forgot what to do, and along came the Nevi'im, and they restored it to its source. But we do learn from it that the Nevi'im have an affinity to the concept of these end letters, because these end letters carry with it a concept of redemption. Redemption is something which comes at the end. And Nevi'im are always looking towards the end. What is the end game? And these letters spell out in total Man Tzipach, which correspond to 90, 90, 100, which is the gematria of Melech, Moloch, Yimloch, the theme of complete Malchus Shemayim in its total form, which in Shemayim Unruchni is there's no difference past, present, and future, and that's how all of these things come together. And this pasuk is said every single day when we say Yehi Chavod. Now let's go to another idea. At the end of Yehi Chavod, we say V'hu Rachum Yichaper Avon V'lo Yashchis V'erbo L'Hashirapo V'lo Yair Kol Chamaso. There are 13 words in this pasuk. How many times do we say this pasuk? 13 times. Well, three times. We say it once in Yehi Chavod, we say it in Hodu, and we say it in Hodu as well. Vurachum at the end of Hodu, we say it Vurachum Yichaper Avon right after we finish Kikodosh Melokeinu, and we also say it in Uvol Tzion Goel. We stand by Beshachris Nusach Hashachris. So why do we say this pasuk? This pasuk captures the theme of repentance, and the Gemara tells us that when they administered Malkos to a person, as they gave each lash, they said one of these words. 13 times 3 equals 39. the maximum number of lashes you can get is 39. As each one of the malchus was administered, it was accompanied by one of the shluchei bezin reciting one v'hu rachum yichaper avon. So what we are trying to accomplish in Pesuk V'Zim, in case chas v'shalom u'nichshol nader, for which we are chayav malchus, we want to say the words of v'hu rachum in order that we should get kapara.
We skip it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We skip it because
you don't get malchus. There's no corporal punishment on on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
You skip those two. You skip the v'hu rachum.
Asher v'lutzion. You don't say v'lutzion.
No, no. There's some spar nusach spar. Some people, they actually don't say that sentence in v'hi chavod.
On Shabbos. On Shabbos. Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
They just skip it.
Okay, let's go to another. Let me go to another idea. Yehi chavod Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem l'asam. Have joy. Yismach Hashem have joy. Now, this pasuk, the first pasuk of Yehi chavod, is a very beautiful pasuk. And tell who was the one who composed this pasuk. It wasn't David, even though it appears in Sefer Tilim. Chazal tell us it was composed by Chanoch. Who was Chanoch? Chanoch, he was in the beginning of the Torah, Sefer Bereishis. Noach, that was Mr. Shelach.
No,
Mr.
Shelach
was
Chanoch.
Hashem took him away.
Chanoch was a tzaddik, and Hashem took away Chanoch. Chanoch, he ascended to Shemayim. Chazal tell us Chanoch was such a great tzaddik. He went and entered into Shemayim alive, and he is who we call the Sar Shel Olam. Someone today mentioned the pasuk Narhu Yisi Gam Zakanti V'Loi Yisi Tzadik Nezav. Who is the one that said that pasuk? Who is the one that can say that he spanned the entire time from beginning to end and he never saw Tzadik Nezav Zaru Mevakesh Lachem? It's the Sar Shel Olam, the master of the world. It's not a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It refers to a malach, but a special malach which has a special title. Who is this Sar Shel Olam? Chazal tell us it is Chanoch. Chanoch is the Sar Shel Olam. Chayin son. It is. Now Chanoch was a person that ascended to Shema. Now he was the one. And when did Chanoch say this pasuk? So there is Chanoch. There's in the beginning of Bereishis. We also learn about these people called the Nephilim. Who are the Nephilim? The Nephilim were Malachim. Rashi even gives us their names. Chazal gives us their names. They were malachim. They came down to this world, and they were attracted to women. They were very impressed with all the beautiful women in this world, and they were swept away, and they were mezana with them, and one thing led to another, and they brought about great churban in this world. So we have something very interesting. We have over here, this is the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, look at this. On the one hand, we have malachim, real malachim, the real deal. They came down to this world and they were swept away in the Tumah. They saw women and they just couldn't control themselves and they got lost. On the other hand, we have a real human being whose name is Chanoch, who elevated himself to such a madrega that he went to Shemayim and he turned into a malach and he became the Sar Shel Olam. So it just goes to show how great a person, what a person can accomplish. A person can be, don't think that everything is preordained. Even malachim can be swept down to the depths, whereas human beings can rise all the way to the top. We are reminded of this concept every single day when we recite Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great joy over his creatures, over Chanoch, who was a human being who elevated himself to a madrego where he went to Shemayim alive, in contrast to the Malachim who defiled themselves and came down to this world and became the Nephilim and were responsible for much contamination and harm. Okay, that's one idea. Let's go to another idea. This Pasuk Yichavod, according to Perek Shira, was said by a Malach, was said by also the Sar Shel Olam. It has to be a different Sar Shel Olam according to this interpretation, because Chanoch did not yet exist at the time when Hashem created vegetation or created herbage. Herbage. What do you mean, Baruch Nafshu?
This person, it comes from Baruch Nafshu.
Yes. It's in Baruch Nafshu. Okay. Yes, yes. So what happened? What is the pasuk according to Perek Shira? When was this pasuk composed? Hashem said that the trees shall bring forth, the earth shall bring forth trees. Okay, so very good. Vayichein, the earth brought forth trees, all different types of fruit, wonderful. Then Hashem gave a command that the earth shall bring forth desha, esev mazria zera. The earth shall give forth herbs, grass. So the question was: should the grass, should it grow multiple blades of grass and multiple herbs? Should they grow from one root, or should each individual stalk, each individual object that comes from the earth, should grow from its own separate root? And the earth on its own made a kal v'chomer. Madoch, trees, which the derech of trees is to be
separate.
It says in the point, I don't know, I'm forgetting the exact words of the drasha, so I'll just let me say it very in an abstract way. The herbs, the grass, came out separately. Each blade of grass and each herb came forth from the earth, liminehem, separately. Shaloi be'arvuvia. They did not come out in a state of confusion, all intermingled. Each object maintained its separate identity. And it was not commanded to do so. And the only reason why it did so was it said it's logical that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be done. And they made a kal v'chomer. I don't know at this moment the exact kal v'chomer. It compared itself to the trees. If the trees, which are like this, and yet the trees came forth separately, so certainly we also shall produce vegetation separate. Each object should maintain its unique identity. When the Tsar Shel Olam saw the beautiful conduct of the vegetation, it said liminehu, maybe it was the trees, it's whatever it's liminehu. It said the following pasuk: Yehi chavod Hashem liolam yismach Hashem b'maasav. Why did it say yismach Hashem b'maasav? So one of the mefarshim says the following idea: at the time of the Mabul, Torah says, ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz. All human, all life, kol bas, all living creatures, basar, corrupted their ways. How did it corrupt their ways? Arayos, man was mezana with woman, man was mezana with animals. Chazal tell us, even the animals made them with different kinds. Ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz. There was irvuvia. There was confusion. People were attaching themselves to things that did not belong to them. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? Vayis atzev el libo. The pasuk says right before the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saddened when he saw that the world had sunk to a low moral degree where it was necessary to destroy the world. Hashem expressed his frustration with the words, or slate, Vayis'atzev el libo. Here it was just the opposite. Here the earth on its own produced vegetation where each object was separate. Everyone knew their place. Every tree was separate. Every vegetable was separate. There was no taruvis. Memela yismach Hashem b'masav. It's a beautiful vart. The yismach Hashem b'masav seemingly ma'in zelzeh. But when you contrast v'yismach Hashem b'masav to v'yis'atzev el libo in response ki hishchis kol bosar es darukai, where there was ervuvia, and this pasuk that was said by the Tsar Shel Olam when it saw that there was no ervuvia, everyone knew their place, everyone knew, don't touch what does not belong to you. Maintain your separation, your dignity, be separate. Oh, yismach, this is a musa that we can learn from every time that we read this pasuk. All right.
Beautiful. That's right.